Today, is the Australian 30-year property supercycle over? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Richard Wiles from Morgan Stanley, after the budget on Tuesday, suggests that the Australian 30-year property supercycle is likely over, with significant impacts on bank valuations because of weakening credit demand. Actually, years ago, Richard and I used to work together on the JP Morgan property reports, which for years were jointly published with DFA. So I respect his views. And as I highlighted in my earlier show, the latest credit stats from the ABS on new lending were weaker before the budget, as higher interest rates, with more to come, hit home. This week's federal budget may have shattered a critical assumption that Australia's housing market has long been built around, which is, if you can buy an investment property, the tax system will help you hold on to it. But what are the implications for the market? Well, join me for a live discussion with Leith Van Onselen on Tuesday, where you can ask a question live, and I'll also be discussing this thorny question with our property insider Erwin Almeida tomorrow. Now, we suspect there will be some losers, but also some winners. And so the question, of course, is who and where? To recap, from July the 1st, 2027, investors will no longer be able to negatively gear established properties, with the concession limited to newly built homes. That said, existing properties purchased before Tuesday will be exempt, alongside carve-outs for superannuation funds and affordable housing. But note that Treasury's budget papers detailed what constitutes new builds eligible for negative gearing. Among them were new apartments bought off the plan and duplexes built in place of a knock-down freestanding house. However, neither a new home that replaces an older one nor a granny flat built on an established property that was not already eligible would qualify for the benefit. Under the new system, investors who make an operating loss on a property will only be able to deduct it against rental income or any capital gain realised when the asset is sold, rather than against other forms of income. And excess rental losses can be carried forward and offset against future rental income or capital gains. And I have highlighted quite recently that more and more property investors in cash flow terms are underwater. So this could be a problem. The changes will be accompanied by the abolition of the existing 50% capital gains tax discount for individuals from July the 1st, 2027. It will be replaced with an inflation indexation model that taxes only the real gains made on asset from that date onward. Investors will also face a minimum capital gains tax rate of 30% on property and shares sold from the middle of 2027, and assets bought before 1985 will be brought into the tax net for the first time. Treasurer Jim Chalmers' radical overhaul of negative gearing and the 50% capital gains tax discount, which are two long-standing features of the tax system, are actually only one of the main reasons why housing affordability is shot. And it will certainly change the game. And large sections of the property industry are now warning that the overhaul could trigger a sharp pullback in investor demand, fueling a fresh surge in rents as well. HSBC Chief Economist Paul Bloxham said the tax overhaul will place downward pressure on house prices and put some upward pressure on rents as existing landlords raise rents to make up for their higher tax burden. The truth is, though, that while younger people may have a lower chance of being outbid at auctions by investors, they still may not be able to afford houses in markets that are among the most expensive in the world. And, of course, we are still some of the most leveraged households in the world as well. Treasury estimates that the two measures will cause house prices to grow about, quote, 2% less over a couple of years than if there had been no change. So for somebody buying a median home price, that's about $19,000. But the reduction in house price growth will also cause a modest decline in the future housing supply pipeline, which in turn will lead to an increase in median rents. They estimate around $2 a week, which is trying to make it sound as little as possible. Commonwealth Bank's Trent Sanders estimates prices will be about 3% lower than they otherwise would have been, and estimates the changes in exit gearing are equivalent to, let's say, up to 1.5 percentage point increases in investor mortgage rates in terms of their effect on a prospective buyer's immediate cash flow. And analysis contained in the budget shows that Treasury found the 50% discount overcompensated high return assets like houses for inflation, but often undercompensated lower return units, meaning they could be more attractive under the new system. In other words, this is trying to prop up prices for units, which in many areas, of course, have been actually falling. And interestingly, more units will be built by the rent mob, which are those big financial companies. So in a way, we are seeing a massive tilt away from individual mum and dad investors towards those large players which already get massive tax breaks. This is not necessarily good news. The Housing Industry Association warns that the immediate effect of the budget will be a reduction in housing supply. Treasury predicts the tax changes will reduce supply by about 35,000 dwellings over the next decade, with 65,000 extra bills generated by a $2 billion investment in enabling infrastructure like water and sewerage pipes for new housing developments, expected, of course, to take some time to materialise. So while the budget tax changes could drive a boom in small-scale housing development, as investors no longer able to profit from redeveloping a single house can instead knock it down and put up townhouses to remain eligible for capital gains and negative gearing tax breaks, the costs of building new homes are running very hot thanks to the current inflation pulse. And while states are rewarded by the federal government for getting more building approvals passed, this does not mean more will actually be built. The test should be keys handed over to buyers, not building approvals. And weirdly, the tax changes may push up the prices of existing homes in some areas, as the owner-occupied home is now the last bastion of a tax shelter. And so this could stimulate more demand for owner-occupied housing, particularly from older, wealthier investors who could put more money into homes for their children to live in. Owner-occupier housing is now the standout asset option. Significantly though, Timothy Hibbert from Oxford Economics actually said the changes were unlikely to kick off a burst of renovations from people upgrading their homes. After a 3% jump in the value of renovations this year, the consultancy forecasts that the total would flatline next year and dip slightly and then pick up from 2029. While the negative gearing and CGT changes may see some households direct more capital into the family home, we see this being offset by a weaker property market, he said. The tax shift for investors and higher borrowing costs means a softer outlook for home prices and turnover. We see this weighing on renovation demand until late in the decade. So how is the market reacting? Well, looking at the weekend auction data, always at best a muddy indicator of activity, the preliminary data from Cotality showed that nationally there was a torrid 57.5% clearance rate. That's the fifth time in the past 7 weeks that it's dropped below 60%. And it's the third lowest result for the year to date. Of the 1,943 properties listed for auction, only 1,380 have been reported so far, and 461 were sold at auction. But the better listed to sold ratio, which I calculate, fell to 40.6%. On the initial numbers, Sydney's preliminary clearance rate dropped to 49.1%, down 6 percentage points from the previous week, even as the volume of scheduled auctions fell to 616, making it the worst outcome since auction results were heavily disrupted through COVID-19 in 2020. The true clearance rate was just 36%. House prices are already falling a little in Sydney and Melbourne. The latest from Shane Oliver over at AMP who tracks the trends, shows the downturn, which is, by the way, more apparent at the top end, where prices there in Sydney's top quartile down more than 3% in the past 3 months. SQM Research Director Lou Christopher forecast price falls up to 6% in Sydney and 4% in Melbourne back in March, and these he now said were looking light on. Melbourne's preliminary clearance rate was 61.4%. That's a bounce compared to last week, but it's still in major price fall territory. The true clearance rate was 44.8%. In Brisbane, it was 55.7%, while Adelaide recorded preliminary clearance of 75.7%, though the true clearance rates were 38.4% and 38.1% respectively, while in Perth, the true clearance rate was just 28%. Doesn't sound hot to me. And there was a decline in open hand auctions, monitored by Ray White. Nationally, attendances fell to 2.1 attendees per property, down from 2.5% last week, and well below the 3.4% average at the same time last week. So I think we need to take a chill pill and wait to see how all of this shakes out. Yes, there will be some further price falls, and markets do look to be veering weaker. But with migration still running close to 300,000 and an undersupply of property, it won't all be doom and gloom. So go granular, as I say. But indeed, it could well be that the massive 30-year supercycle in Australia for property is indeed ending. And if it's true, well, this could change everything. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.